Welcome to the Rob Burgess Show. I am, of course, your host, Rob Burgess. On this, our 244th episode, our guest is Mark Rank. Mark Robert Rank is the Herbert S. Hadley Professor of Social Welfare at Washington University in St. Louis. He is widely recognized as one of the foremost experts on issues of poverty, inequality, and social justice. To date, he has written 10 books on a range of subjects, including An Exploration of the American Dream, A New Understanding of Poverty and Inequality, and The Role of Luck and Chance in Shaping the Course of Our Lives. In addition, he has published articles in numerous academic journals across a variety of fields. Rank's research has been reported widely throughout the news media and cited in virtually every newspaper in the country, frequently in the New York Times and the Washington Post. He has been featured in a range of other media outlets, including various programs on National Public Radio, NBC Nightly News, the PBS NewsHour, CBS News, CNN, and many others. He has provided research expertise to members of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives, as well as many national organizations involved in issues of economic and social justice. His work has been cited by then-President Barack Obama, as well as Senator Bernie Sanders and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. His most recent book is The Random Factor: How Chance and Luck Profoundly Shape Our Lives and the World Around Us. And now on to the show.
Well, my name is Mark Rank, and I'm a professor of social welfare here at Washington University in St. Louis. And my background is I'm trained as a sociologist, but I'm in a school of social work. You know, I've done a lot of work in the past on issues of poverty and inequality. I've done a book on the American Dream. But this latest book is a little bit different in that it's focusing on this whole idea of chance, luck, and randomness, which is, as we'll talk about, I think a really, really interesting subject.
Oh, absolutely. And, I've always thought that people underestimate the amount that happenstance, luck, whatever you want to call it, just randomness, chaos, informs everything about where we are and who we are and who we become. And one thing I think the reason that doesn't occur to a lot of people, especially here in America, is I think it runs counter to a certain, I don't know what you'd call it, self-determination, individualism, you know what I mean? Some kind of like bootstraps, grit, personal achievement, you know what I mean? Like it's hard. Yeah. It's hard for people who buy into that idea to admit how much is just totally out of our control.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I think, I talk about a little bit in the book that America is really steeped in the idea of rugged individualism and that, you do it on your own and you have agency and you have control over your life. And we really, kind of buy into that. And so this idea of chance and luck and randomness runs counter to that. So I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. And I think back to one moment, and I haven't finished your book yet, so forgive me if you cover this, but one moment that kind of jumps out to me is, I don't know if you remember when Barack Obama famously said, you didn't build that, referring to, the roads that people take to work and the fire protection and so on and so forth, that people, the invisible things that people don't take into account and think, I built this business myself. And it's like, well, you did that. And there were tax breaks and there were this, that, and the third.
If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
And people on the right got so offended by that and they were like, I did build it. How dare you?
Right. No, I do remember that. Yeah. And it's like, I talk in the book that it's not as if, all the world is chance and luck and randomness, but so is the case that all the world is not just hard work and talent and skills, that there's a combination of these two things. So sure, you know, you need to have some determination and some skills and talent to get ahead in life. But those are only, I mentioned this idea that those are only necessary conditions, not necessarily sufficient conditions. So there's, for example, in my work on poverty, there's lots of people that work really, really hard, but are not able to get ahead. They haven't gotten the good breaks or whatever it may be. So it's, you know, life is, it's really a combination of these two and how they come together. That's really the nuance of how our lives unfold.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, before we get too much further into it, what are some of the, and I'm so glad it's funny. I think we have a very similar reading list because you mentioned several books that I'm either in the middle of and have been reading for a while or have just finished. I just finished The Only Plane in the Sky, the 9/11, great book I recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that in the book. There's so many examples, of course, in that book of just like jaw dropping, either good or bad, you know what I mean? Luck, as it turns out, just to be in that tower on that random day. But I mean, just go ahead and talk a little bit about, and I'm also, I don't know when I'm going to finish this, but I'm about 450 pages into, William Shire's, Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. I do finishing that one day. I'm going to do it. It's been, he's taking over Poland now. It's not going well, but,
Right. Well,
but you mentioned both those in the book. I was like, oh, that's hilarious. We probably been reading the same books here.
So. Yeah. Well, we're on the same track, I guess. Mm-hmm. The Only Plane in the Sky, it's just, you know, with 9/11 and this guy did all these interviews with folks, you know, who survived or who lost somebody in the tragedy. It was so much randomness and chance involved in terms of who lived and who died. I mean, it was like, you know, if I had been 5 minutes early, if I had been 5 minutes late, if I hadn't made that subway connection, or if, you know, on and on and on. It was like you really see chance play out in disasters like that. You really see that it was just like if something slightly different had been the case, I wouldn't have made it. I would have died. And so that's a really good example. William Shire, I refer to actually his the diary that he wrote over his period of time. He was a correspondent in Nazi Germany and left right before it was in 1941. But he talked about there was a guy who planted this bomb in November of 1939. So Hitler went to war by invading Poland on September 1st, 1939, started World War II. And Hitler had been giving this annual speech in Munich on the anniversary of the sort of the takeover that they tried to do in 1924. But this guy planted this bomb and in the hall where Hitler was going to give this speech. And Shire talks about Hitler decided to cut the speech short and to leave early to get back to Berlin. His speech normally was about 2 hours long. Well, he cut it short. Had it gone 12 minutes longer, he would have been killed. There were like 50 people killed in the bomb explosion. The bomb was right next to where he was giving the speech. It was just chance that he was not killed. Had he been killed, obviously the World War II would have played out much, much differently. The Holocaust would have played out much, much differently. And on the way back, on the train back to Berlin at a stop in Nuremberg, he was told about this bomb, and Hitler said, "Well, a man has to be lucky." Mm-hmm. Well, he was lucky, and we were like really unlucky. But that was an example. And then I give the earlier example of Hitler as a youth. His big goal was to go into art and become an artist. And he made it past the first round in Austria to get into art school. But at the second round, he didn't get in. He didn't pass. And we know that, you know, art's very subjective. Had that committee met on a different day or, you know, been composed of a couple different people, he may very well have gotten accepted into art school. And again, the world would look much differently. But there you have, like, on one day something might have happened, but on the other day it didn't. So it's like throughout history, there's so many examples of history being shaped and bent by a random event.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the ones from that Only Plane in the Sky book that just made my jaw drop was the case of a woman named Monica O'Leary. She worked at Cantor Fitzgerald and was laid off the Monday before. And I'm sure in the moment thought this was bad luck. You know what I mean? It's like, it was like, it was a random event, but in that moment, that Monday, I bet she was like, oh, this is terrible. I'm losing my job. What am I going to do?
And it's right.
You have no idea how lucky you are.
Like, yeah, that's so true. And you know, the other thing is, you know, when you say you have no idea how lucky you are, many times we are not aware of how lucky we are. Like something could have happened, but we were 5 seconds too early or 5 seconds too late, and we never saw what happened.
Yep.
You know, now you do see this in these accidents that obviously that did happen, but there's so many cases where, you know, we could have had a car accident, but, you know, 10 seconds one way or the other. And so we're often not aware of many of these things that are happening behind the scene.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, I've been agreeing with you so far, and I agree with most everything you say, but I'm going to push back a little bit just because I do have the thoughts of, okay, yes, randomness, absolutely. I buy it. It's a huge factor in life. We don't acknowledge it enough. We need to think about it more. You know, coincidence sometimes takes a lot of planning, though, and there are moments where, yes, it was random that this thing happened and this thing happened afterwards, but people were in positions to do things. They made sure they were in position to be able to do things. One example I would kind of cite is you mentioned Rosa Parks in the book, and I do think yes, who knows, you know, why that, you know, was the thing that pushed it off. Right. I don't know how much reading you've done about this, but I've researched it a little bit. She was apparently put forward as a more respectable victim than a woman named Claudette Colvin, who was not seen as quite as sympathetic for whatever reason. And she had the same thing happen like 9 months before, but it wasn't like, you know, they didn't feel maybe she was like as sympathetic a victim or whatever that could be held up. So, you know, yes, who knows why, you know, that case of, because people have probably been told to go back to the back of the bus so many times before that and why this one time, but it's like, they sort of knew that, like, okay, it's like when somebody wants to take something to the Supreme Court, they'll intentionally do something to get denied so that they can, you know what I mean? Like with the same sex marriage thing, it was like, we're going to go to the courthouse, try to get married. They're going to deny us. Then we can, you know, claim injury and then we can take our case to the Supreme Court. There's a lot of randomness, but you know, there is planning too. So what would you?
Absolutely. No, there's an interaction. And I talk about that throughout there. Yeah. Again, it's not just one or the other. I mean, that's a really good example. And I do cite that in a footnote in the book about that Rosa Parks was not the first and exactly what you said, this earlier woman who was a teenager and
Rosa Parks was older and like seen as more respectable.
It is much more respectable a much easier case to sort of, you know, garner the nation's sympathy around. And so absolutely that was, but nevertheless, on that day, you know, the fact, the specifics of that happened on that day, on that bus, that was chance, but you're absolutely right. There's an interaction. So here's another way to think about that. Pasteur a long time ago said, chance or luck favors the prepared mind. What he meant by that is I talk in the book, I give a section to serendipitous discoveries in science, you know, so things like penicillin, Velcro, a whole list of things have been discovered with a chance event triggering the discovery. But the scientist had to be prepared to see that and do something with that. So it wasn't just like pure chance or luck. It was a combination of a chance event happening with somebody who was ready to recognize that chance event. And, you know, we might make the same thing with the case with Rosa Parks, that the folks who were planning this and wanted to have the boycott were looking for the right opportunity, and it did come along with Rosa Parks. So again, combination of the two.
Absolutely. Now this is a wider discussion, but it relates to what we're talking about. Do you believe in free will?
Well, you know, this is kind of a different topic. Well,
I think it's somewhat related, but yeah, you're right. It's a larger discussion, but I mean, what do you think? Do you think we have to go or not?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some aspects. So I think in life, well, here's kind of a way to think about this that I talk about. You know, in life, there are certain currents that push our lives in certain directions. And so, you know, things like class and race and gender, those are all important. They have effects on our lives. But within those strong currents are ripples of randomness that really affect the specifics of our lives. And so what I would say in terms of free will is, yes, I think we do make decisions. We have some agency, no doubt about it. But again, it's kind of like chemistry, a chemical interacting with another chemical and producing a different, you know, sort of a unique kind of outcome. That's what happens here. So yes, we have decisions to make and we have some free will, but only up to a certain point, because randomness and chance are going to have an impact on the kinds of decisions we're able to make and the ability to play those things out. So again, I think it's a more nuanced view than just saying, well, we have free will or we don't have free will.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't know. I've not made my mind up yet, because logically I can't logic my way out of the idea that I don't have free will, because it seems like everything that I do or say or am or have the opportunity to be can, like, you pull every thread and it comes down to math, science, chemistry, interactions between things, how long, you know, things take. So it seems like there's no end to the threads you could pull that would just lead it back to you don't have free will. But then again, I go through my day, I'm saying these words to you right now, and I feel like I'm using them. I mean, I feel like I got up and worked really hard and did a lot of things today by my own volition, but did I like, was that always going to be the way it was? And like, was I just destined to have the drive to do that because of this, that, and the third, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You can go in circles on that. Oh, yeah.
So I don't really have an answer on that. I'm just curious,
nor do I, but I do think
it's, might have thought about that before.
Right. No, I do. But I do think it's a more nuanced kind of thing. I do think that there's an interaction that occurs here that again, as you said, you know, you go about your day, you do have decisions to make and things like that. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, the context in which that's taking place, there's a lot of randomness that's affecting the type of decisions and the kind of decisions that you do make.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the value of thinking about this is for somebody that doesn't think about it already? Like, why should we like take time in our day to consider why randomness is important? Like, how does it help us?
Yeah. So I get to the sort of the end of the book and I say, okay, hopefully I've made a pretty strong case that there's randomness, chance, and luck involved in both in thinking about how our lives unfold and in thinking of the world around us. Well, now, what are the lessons we can learn from that? What can we take from that? And I think there's a lot of lessons. You know, I was just thinking about this a while ago, that one lesson is the whole idea of gratitude, humility, and empathy. So gratitude, the chances of you and I being here and talking are, the chance of you being born and me being born are unbelievable when you think about it. I mean, think about this. Your parents had to find each other. Mm-hmm. Their parents had to find each other. Their parents had to find each other, you know, and on it goes. The odds are incredible. So we ought to be grateful that we're even here because of chance and randomness. The odds against us being here are astronomical. So gratitude would be one. Another would be humility. Look, I didn't do all this on my own. I got some breaks along the way, and I should be kind of humble about that, you know, and to not say, oh, I determined my entire future and blah, blah, blah. I had a say in that, but there was also chance and luck involved. And I had to be a little humble about that. And then empathy for folks who may not have gotten the good breaks, who are in a different situation there, but for the grace of God go I. I think that accepting the idea of randomness and chance leads one to have more, to be more empathetic to others who didn't get those good breaks. Mm-hmm. So I talk about that, and I talk about lots of other kind of lessons that we can learn as a result. And I also talk about kind of thinking about about the social policy world and how we might think about by recognizing chance and luck and randomness, what does that imply in terms of the kind of social policies we should have?
Right. I do wonder how spirituality and religion play into all this, though, because, all right, so yesterday was my birthday. I love rainbows. I was coming home from having a delicious taco meal with my family and brownies, and they got me a new guitar, and I was feeling great. And on my way home, it had been raining real hard all day, and I was like, man, this rain. And then I got home, and I looked over, and the biggest double rainbow was there. And I was like, all right, that feels like, I mean, I can science that and say that, you know, the sun was shining through the droplets or whatever. I haven't seen a rainbow in months. I suddenly see one on my birthday. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't feel like chance to me. And any number of religions and myths and faiths throughout time have always looked for signs. And I mean, we just had that eclipse, for goodness sakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that was amazing.
Were you in the zone of totality?
Yes, yes.
I was too. It was right in the smack dab. I'm in Indiana, and it was just right.
You got it right. We went down to southern Missouri. Boy, and I saw the 2017 one. It was like, when that thing went into totality, it was like, wow.
Incredible.
Now, I mean, people were screaming and cheering.
Fireworks. I had fireworks.
Oh, that's so cool. So cool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, so back to religion. Another take on this, and I found this in the book that I'm looking at here. Some people will say, how does God allow bad things to happen to good people?
Mm.
Why does he allow that? And so I'm just going to read a little something here. It's just a short little paragraph, but it kind of gets at one angle on religion and randomness. So I say, many years ago, Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote the best-selling book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Mm-hmm. In it, he attempted to reconcile how God would allow bad things to happen to good people. His message was that these are basically random events. When they occur, one can turn to God for comfort and strength, but that, and then quoting from him, it's our role as humans to accept the randomness of the universe, not to blame God or ourselves for tragedies, but to believe in God's omnipresent goodness as a nourishing force. So in other words, here we have a case of somebody who's steeped in religion, but saying, you know what, there's also randomness going on here. And so I think that's kind of an interesting take on this. Now, on the other hand, the famous quote from Albert Einstein was that God does not play with dice. Mm-hmm. So in other words, things are kind of determined.
Sure.
And actually, I talk about how in the 17th and 18th century, there was a real move away from recognizing randomness and chance. From a religious point of view, the idea was, well, everything is determined. Everything is preordained. You know, it's like there is no chance of random. And the scientific world with Newton and everything was saying there are, if you have enough information, there are scientific laws that can predict everything. And so there's no randomness and chance. Now, we've moved away from there, particularly in lots of areas in physics and so on and so forth, that actually show there's a ton of randomness in the world around us. But it's an interesting discussion.
Mm-hmm. I haven't really studied this beyond Jurassic Park, so forgive me. But have you studied the chaos theory?
A little bit, yeah, and that's kind of another take on this idea. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, can you define it at all? I'm not super familiar with it. I just know that it's a way that people try to think about.
I mean, it's just like, so for a good example of kind of how chaos theory plays out is in terms of the weather and trying to predict the weather. Mm-hmm. That, as you know, it becomes very difficult. They're just thinking about sort of the weather on eclipse day. You know, like. Mm-hmm. You know, we could kind of predict that a couple days out, but, you know, beyond, you couldn't predict what the weather was going to be a week before. You could not predict that, because mm-hmm. the weather is got a lot of chaotic components to it. And it's just, it's at a certain point, it's impossible to predict. So that gets at, again, this idea that there's a ton of randomness in the world around us. Yeah,
absolutely. Have you seen the movie, The Butterfly Effect?
No, but I know about the butterfly.
You should see it, especially since you wrote this book. I think you'd be into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when did that come out?
Oh, gosh. Like maybe 20 years ago or so.
Okay.
With Ashton Kutcher, if I remember right. But anyway, yeah, it's like the idea, and I think you talk about it even in the book. It is if
I do.
Went back and in the time machine and you stepped on the butterfly, it would like totally change everything. It was a Ray Bradbury story, right?
It was a Ray Bradbury story, like in the 50s. And yeah, it was like they had this time machine. You go back and hunt dinosaurs, and it's like, but you had to stay on the path, and the dinosaur was going to die anyway, and so you wouldn't affect anything. But this guy fell off the path and hit a dinosaur. Killed a butterfly.
Yes.
And when he came back, the world was slightly different, you know. And so it's that idea that changing one thing in the world can really have this real ripple random effect.
Mm-hmm. 2004. Yeah. So exactly 20 years ago.
Okay.
But yeah, you should see it. I think you'd enjoy it. And of course, Back to the Future also plays with this idea as well many times.
Right. Right.
But yeah, definitely. Well, this super fascinating concept. I love thinking about it. I will finish the book. I haven't finished it quite yet, but yeah, it's really it's going well. But what are you working on now?
So it's funny you should say that. And I use this quote in the book. There's a quote from Ecclesiastes in the, I guess that's in either, is that the New Testament or Old Testament? Anyway, it's about, it says, you know, the race is not to the swift, the you know, this is that, but chance and time happens to us all. Mm. And so I thought, wow, you know, I've done a book on chance. Maybe I should do a book on time.
Mm.
So that's kind of my follow-up to this book. I'm doing it's kind of set up the same way, the same structure, but looking at various aspects of time and how time plays out in our lives, how we perceive time. Time, you know, is important in terms of the natural world. So that's kind of the follow-up to this book.
Have you seen any of the films of Richard Linklater?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
I think the main theme of, and he's one of my favorite directors. I did a whole podcast with Melissa Mertz, who wrote a oral history of Dazed and Confused. But we talked about this then, that the main theme of his work is the passage of time. So I think that he would be a worthy contribution to that project. If, you know, with Boyhood, obviously the obvious example, but I feel like everything he does is shot through with that. So.
Right. And have you ever seen the 7-Up series, you know, the 7-Up, 14-Up, 28-Up, the BBC series? So what they did is, you should watch it, because if you like the other stuff. So what they do is, this was in England, and they took about 15 kids and they come back and film them every 7 years. And now it's up to like 65 and what happened in their lives, and they flash back. And so it's like, you see you see time going in front and behind. Very cool.
Yeah. No, I see that with my kids all the time too. I'll take pictures of them randomly, and then I'll look at it years later, like, oh my gosh, you had no
idea.
You were just capturing a moment in time right there, just with this random moment.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, you just subtle ways that they're like changing and growing all the time. It hits you. So, Well, I mean, being a parent definitely kicks that into high gear for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. Was there anything else I didn't ask you about the subject? I mean, I feel like we could talk all day I can think of so many directions we could go with this, but is there anything that you wanted to discuss that I didn't ask you about?
I think that's good. I mean, there are just many, many different aspects in this book, you know, like I'll just pull out one that, you know, that is pretty interesting, is the amount of luck versus skill in different sports.
Oh yeah.
And so, and as you know, we watch sports, and we all know there's an element of chance, there's an element of luck, but you know, one analysis showed that, you know, of the five major sports, the one that has in the United States, the one that has the least amount of luck and the most amount of skill is basketball, the NBA. Mm-hmm. And the one with the most amount of luck is hockey. And here's why. In basketball, you have a lot of opportunities to score a basket. And when you have more chances to score, the skill of the players comes to the fore more. In hockey or in soccer, when there's very few chances to score, a lucky bounce can determine a game. And so what they actually found was that in a season, for an NBA team, their position in the standing, about 12% was related to luck, the rest to skill. In hockey, about 53% of where a team was in the standings was due to luck and the rest to skill. So there's a huge difference. So it's interesting, like this plays out in so many different aspects of our lives.
Just going off of what you said there, it made me think of, you talk about in the book, well, you mean you already mentioned it with the Hitler thing about you've got the man's mm-hmm. got to be lucky. You cite another example later of the thing about the Goldman Sachs or whatever applicants where they just throw half of them in the garbage.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, you got to be lucky. And, you know, like I think people, and like I was saying about the Hitler thing, people kind of fetishize this like, this luck is some sort of magical being to like rub off on, or, you know, it's like, or I mean, you could even take it. I don't know if you say this in the book later on, but the example of the, you know, hockey player that doesn't take their socks off or wears the same socks every night. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's a mystical quality, and people are like, you gotta be lucky. You gotta have a luck about you. And it's like, and some people do seem to lead a pretty charmed life. You know what I mean? Like you look at them and you're like, okay, they're something about them just says like they will get to keep going. You know what I mean?
Right. And I talk about, you know, we like to think that luck evens out, but actually it may or it may not. And so, as you said, some people might just, you know, have a lot of good luck that happens to them. Other people might have a lot of bad luck. And you know, it may or may not even out. I talk about things like the gambler's fallacy, where, you know, the idea is, well, if you're at the gambling table, you know, playing blackjack or whatever, and you're on a losing streak, well, you should keep betting because your luck will change. Mm-hmm. Well, it may or it may not, you know, especially thinking about the short term. You know, this goes back to your thing with the stock market. If you think long term, yes, the stock market's going to go up over 30 years. I mean, if we go by historical data.
Yeah.
But in the short term, it can do a lot. It's random. It can do a lot of different things. And the same thing is true with gambling.
Oh, wow. 100%. Absolutely. No, but I mean, there's people that are in my life, and I'm sure there's people in your life that like, it always seems like they're like stepping out on a ledge and somehow they just keep going. And you think to yourself, if I did half of this, I'd be taken away in an instant and I would never come back again. But they seem to always just, you know what I mean? No matter what they do,
they live a charmed
life. Like, they seem to like the red carpet seems to get rolled out before them, and they seem to get to pass by the situation that it's like, if I did half of what you did, I would be never heard from again. You know?
Yeah, they're living a charmed life.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Well, great. Well, we've only got a couple minutes here, according to the Zoom. But thank you for talking to me about this. I hope would you come back again sometime? And
I mean, there's lots of stuff to talk about. Please. So this is a good introduction.
I've been really interested to talk to you. You've been a great guest. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. So we sounds good.
Absolutely. Well, one question before I let you go. I always ask, what music have you been listening to lately? And I'm especially interested to ask you because you said you're a musician. So
yeah. Well, you know, interestingly, the thing I just listened to, and I do refer to this in the book, was Billie Holiday singing God Bless the Child, because somebody just sent this to me with Count Basie's orchestra. And the reason it's in the book is I talk about the idea of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor, and the role of chance and luck in that. And in the song, God Bless the Child, you know, she refers to that. So I was just listening to that like an hour ago.
Nice. Great. I'll have to get into that. Yeah. I've been trying to listen to more jazz for sure.
Yeah.
So great.
Okay, Rob. Well, this has been terrific.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Welcome back anytime. I hope that we don't random. I was trying to make a random joke. Maybe I'll let it go. But I hope our next meeting isn't random, and we can make it planned. And come back anytime. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, sounds great.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.